The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
And Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and all through it the seed would sprout and grow, and he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." And he went on to say, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? What parable shall we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that, when sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them. They were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them. But to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Allow me a moment to say a word of gratitude and recognition to our lectors and to the lector program. I know the lectors are very diligent in preparing the Word of God, and their proclamation is worthy. They just don't read the Word of God, they proclaim the Word of God, and it clearly is a proclamation of their own living faith. So thank you to our lectors. We have excellent lectors at all our liturgies here at Holy Family. Bernard Lonergan, I've spoken about Lonergan before, Jesuit Canadian theologian, wrote a thesis along these lines. He said, "Your life is significantly formed and shaped by your experience of authority. Your authority in your home, or in your school, or your authority in the church, or in society, where you work. Your experience of authority is very formative. However," he said, "far more formative is the authority of your experience. Where have you come from? What happened to you? What wounds do you carry? What forgiveness do you withhold? What joys do you have in your life? What do you have to celebrate? The experience, the authority of this experience is far more formative." So let me look at the authority of experience on Father's Day. And when we celebrate fathers today and give thanks to our fathers, we're speaking about grandfathers, your favorite uncle, we're talking about your big brother, maybe a single mother who had to be father to a family. But we're honoring those people who mentored us, and those who blessed us and sacrificed for us, those who prayed over us, had dreams for us. These are the father figures whom we honor today with a grateful prayer. So let me tell you a little bit about my own father and the influence my father had in my life, the authority of my experience with my father. He was a patriarchal figure. He was a large fellow. And when I was young, he was in charge. He was in charge of everything. He was in charge of discipline. He had standards. He expected you to meet the standards. He created a safe place for his family. He had expectations for his family. But we were safe. In his shadow, we were safe. Like the birds of the air come and rest beneath the shadows on this shadow. The tree was like that. He could get angry. He could be impatient. This is all part of the wonder of this fantastic father. Hardworking, very enterprising, in many ways driven person. That was my experience when he was young. When he got older, I experienced him in a deeper and more profound way, a certain kind of intimacy. When he lost power, he wasn't in control. When he needed me more to help him, I saw a beauty and a wonder in his humanity. He was hard of hearing, and I learned that we are very patient with people who are not sighted, with blind people. But people hard of hearing, we tend to get impatient. Didn't you know we were talking about Holy Family? Oh, God. So hard of hearing persons tend to be lonely because they can't connect. They don't become part of the conversation. I learned that about my father. To make sure that I would connect with his loneliness because he was hard of hearing. He was more dependent now. A little bit more peculiar. Not in control now. And there was a beauty and a wonder in him that I discovered when he got older. He had still expectations, you know. One time when he was 86, and I went home on vacation to Ireland, and in my sister's house they were doing some work, and we got home in the evening, and he could wire a house, he could strip a car engine and put it back together. He was a very able fellow in many, many things. He learned this. This was part of his driven personality. So now he was 86 and his hand was shaking a little bit, and we were putting up a wall light. So we turned off the mains on the electricity, and he's got a flashlight and it's shaking a little bit, and I am the electrician. So I'm gonna pull this wire to connect it to the light. He said, "Do you see the red wire?" "Yes, I do." "Put the pliers on it and pull it." I pulled it. "See the blue wire?" "Pull it." "Well, it's not long enough. It won't come out to connect to the thing." "Give it a good pull." I gave it a good pull and it broke. And I said, "Why don't we just call in an electrician tomorrow to fix it?" Well, that was the ultimate insult to this man. So he said to me, "You know, you always hope that the next generation is a sign of progress." But in this case, I loved it. I mean, this is beautiful. It's this humanity of it was so special. I remember when he was 87 and I went home on vacation and he had an old sweater. It was a hole in the sleeve. And I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm gonna buy you a new sweater." So I bought him a new cashmere sweater. It's really nice. Next time I went home, he's wearing the old sweater with the hole. And I said, "Well, what happened to the new sweater I bought you?" "Now he's 87. And he said, "Well, I'm holding that. You never know when I might need it." And I'm saying, "What do you think the life expectancy of the sweater is and what your life expectancy is?" But wasn't this beautiful? I mean, it was so enchanting. I mean, I found this so inspiring. The wonder of being totally human. In 1989, Cardinal Manning died here at Holy Family. He was my spiritual father. He was the reason I came to Holy Family, because he wanted to come. 1990, I went on a long sabbatical overseas into the third world, and I was deliriously happy. So by 1991, I had very quietly arranged plans to leave Holy Family and go and live in the third world. And in April 1991, I got a call from Ireland saying my father, who was 88 now, he got a stroke. So I went home, and I spent about 10 days with him in the hospital, and every day, and then the doctor said, "I think he's getting better." So I said, "Okay." And one evening I said, "Now, I'm going back to Holy Family tomorrow because I have these plans, and I'm kind of laying the groundwork for a new assignment, and but I'll be back in a couple of months." So he said, "Fine, go back to Holy Family, fine." I'll be leaving in the morning. He said, fine, but now you have to do one thing for me before you leave. And I said, sure. And he said, I'd like to hear my confession. And I said, oh my God. You know, he's a man who went to Mass every day, total integrity. He never stole a thing in his life. This is the most honest man you'll ever meet in your life. I'm going to hear his confession. Well, I heard my father's confession, and I blessed him. And I left, came back here. I was back about a week, and one evening I got a call from a nun in the hospital. A sister called me and said, Monsignor, your father died last night. I said, wow. My last experience was his teaching about the beauty of a penitent, the humility of the penitent. There's something very sacred about that. It was his last teaching for me. So I look back, and even though he died 27 years ago, he didn't die to me. He's still alive for me. I walk with him, I consult him, I talk with him. I know people would think I'm crazy, but I don't. I feel his spirit is still in my life. And sometimes I see something and I say, wow, this he would have loved. We love sports, sports everywhere. He was a bit chauvinistic. On Sunday, the car's in the driveway, the doors are open, the engine is running. I'm in the car with him. My sisters are fixing my mom's hat somewhere in the house. And we're late for church, we won't get the right pew, all this. And then he'd say, now, you know, whenever you're going some, don't take the women with you, they'll slow you down. And I said, oh my God. You say that today, you'd be in big trouble with me too and all that. Anyway, what a wonderful experience I had from my father. What a great teacher he was. And so this song that I sing is a prayer. It's a prayer for your father, for your grandfather. It's a prayer for your uncle, your favorite uncle who loved you. It's a prayer for the mother, the single mother who had to be father. So translate this prayer into your own human experience. And it's a prayer for my father, Pat Connolly, for you. Now. The tears have all been shed now. We've said our last goodbye. His soul's been blessed, he's laid to rest, and I feel all alone. He was more than just my father, my teacher, my best friend. And he'll still be heard in the tunes we've shared when I play them on my own. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, I miss him, the old man. As a boy, he'd take me walking by mountain, field, and stream, and show me things not known to kings, secrets between him and me. Like the colors of a pheasant as she rises in the morn, or how to fish or make a wish beside the fairy tree. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the the old man. I thought he'd live forever. He looked so big and strong. But the minutes fly and the years roll by for a father and a son. And suddenly when it happened, there was so much left unsaid. No second chance for words of thanks for all the things he'd done. And I never will forget him, for he made me what I am. Though he may be gone, memories linger on. I miss him, the old man. God, I miss him, the old man.